It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm associate producer Katie Blackley, in for Paul Guggenheimer. Before we visit the Frick, we're stopping by the Strip District's Bermanni's to grab a sandwich and chat with longtime manager and cook, Tony Haggerty.
This has become like a tourist attraction for being on television so many times and things. And people talk, you know, what a different sandwich, a different sandwich. Nobody make a sandwich like we do, you know. My name is Tony Haggerty. I've been at Pirandi for 42 years. Now I'm retired, I think, semi-retired off the grill. But I'm still working, though, you know. They want me here. And I watch over everything, you know. Before we had more like working people and truck driver, because this was really a truck driver stop years ago. But then once we took over, then these bars started opening up, then it really flourished. Here, that's where we make all our sandwiches. So here's a black meat burger. And we put cheese on it. We put provolone cheese. And we put French fry, coleslaw, and tomato right on the sandwich. On Italian bread, right. And we cut the bread.
How old is that cut, Lord?
No, they're old, about 5 years old.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No, this is my fourth one since I've been here. Every 10 years, we usually replace it almost. That's pretty good sandwich. Do you ever add it?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So here's all our lunch meat that we serve. Yes, we got salami, corned beef, roast beef, ham, turkey, bologna, capicola, and salami. These are cheese steaks, chicken, black Angus, hot sausage, red sausage, kielbasa, knockwurst, triple cheese, you know, if you want just cheese sandwich, and this is the tuna. Okay, the provolone cheese on Italian bread with some French fries on it, and we put coleslaw, and then we put two sliced tomato right on the sandwich. And the sandwich is done, babe. It's nice to walk into a place and the girl's so, you know, nice with you. And can I help? You know what I'm saying? We can run. We tell, no, you can have French fries on the side. No, you can have no coleslaw. But we still make them for them, you know. But that's what they expect because they heard of me over the years. So they expect for me to say that. So I'm trying to teach everybody else to be that way. To me, they're all family now. Anymore, everybody become my family here, you know.
Like they should be tree frogs in the Amazon or something. Whenever reporters are out listening to noises, should be more interesting than our car lift. But. I'm Sarah Hall, Director of Curatorial Affairs at the Frick Pittsburgh, and we're going to take a trip into our new on-site storage facility. Swipe to get into the elevator. Staff only here. And going down into the basement underneath our car and carriage museum. We're really excited about the elevator, actually. It's part of our RAD funding underwrote this elevator, and it allows us to hire staff who are disabled to be able to work on the second floor, which we have a very steep stairway up to those offices. So in addition to bringing us down to storage, it can take us up to the Education Department offices. And down here, we have what I call aviary protocol. I know there's more technical term, but we don't open any exterior doors if our interior doors are open. So we try to preserve the climate inside. So I said we're going down to our on-site storage facility. More accurately, it's our on-site collection storage facility. So you'll see fine and decorative arts down here, as well as cars and carriages that aren't on display. So right now, we're in the basement of the Car and Carriage Museum, the original section that was the Car Museum. And this has always been storage for vehicles since 1997, except with our new construction, we improved it. We made it more secure. We added climate control. It's not just a basement. It's not just a garage anymore. It's actually 50% humidity and 70 degrees and appropriate storage for these things when they're not on display. We have a lot of exhibition furniture down
down here, as well as a number of cars and carriages that aren't on display. You know, we have about, I think it's 41 vehicles total, a mixture of cars and carriages, and we fit, you know, 20 to 25 on the floor at one time. And we also bring in loans, so if we bring in a loan, we have to bring some of our own vehicles down here to make space. A lot of exhibition display furniture and things that we're not using here as well. Swiping in. And you wouldn't believe how exciting this is for those of us who work here. Our collection, there was the sound of the door slamming shut behind us. We're sort of vaulted in now. And our collection is over 11,000 objects in our database. Some of those objects, when we inventoried, none of us were here then, but after Helen Clay Frick's death in the 80s when they inventoried the estate, some things were actually counted in lots. So one accession number might be 10 pairs of gloves or 4 ties or something like that. So we're still going through. So that 11,000 number is a low number, is what I'm getting at. And all of this material associated with the collection at Clayton has really been in offsite storage for, you know, 14, 15 years. And it was incredibly inconvenient. It was safe for the objects, but it was over an hour away. So if the curatorial department wanted to switch the gown in Clayton that we have on display, we'd look at our database and pick maybe 2 or 3 potential gowns. Then you have to drive over an hour, get into your storage facility, retrieve the boxes, examine the gowns, decide which one's in the best condition or is most appropriate. And some of these things might not have been looked at by a person in years, so you might find some surprises. And that's a day's work. Now they're right here. We can really work with our collection so much more easily. We can do ongoing research. It's just really exciting for us. So we have compact shelving, and I'll move some of the compact shelving. It's right now, you know, we're still in the beginning. Everything's here. We're in the beginning of organizing and labeling. So we have sort of zones. You'll see our little labels aren't really filled out. They'd be sort of more like a library, eventually showing accession numbers or categories of things. We have clothing. These shelves are extra wide in order to take giant gown boxes on them. And if I read some of the labels to you, this says men's silk undershirts, circa 1900. We have girls' slips, camisoles, socks, gloves, all sorts of clothing. I mean, it is textiles and clothing are one of the large parts of our collection, so we have a lot of it down here. We'll be working over the summer to repack and rehouse some of these things as we look at it, photograph it, just, you know, work with it more because it's here and we can. I'm seeing a box that says women's jackets and men's vests. We're having a textile expert come work with us for a week in July. She's going to look at all the gowns, women's bodices and skirts, and lingerie because we're doing a huge lingerie exhibition in 2017 that just opened at the V&A in London. It's called Undressed, A Brief History of Underwear. We actually have an amazingly beautiful lingerie collection with a lot of handmade lace. And so we're going to winnow out a few of our most sort of special precious pieces to have conserved and to put on display next fall of 2017, when we have the big V&A show. So more clothing here, ladies' half slips. You wouldn't believe, I think when I type slip into our database, there's over 100. So lots and lots of fancy undergarments and things. Guinea pig cage. See, the collection is astonishing because you really get a sense of the life of these people. So there may be things like gloves or guinea pig pages that aren't, they have no real monetary value. It's the sort of assemblage of all this material from one family that gives such a vivid picture of what their life was like. I can show you one of our favorite sort of show and tell things down here. Are the shoes, and I'll find the shelf of the shoes, and you can see these move really easily too. We came down here when it was brand new and kind of like a laboratory, and nothing was in here yet. And my former boss said to me, "It will never be this beautiful." But I said yesterday, "I think it's more beautiful now with stuff in it." I get really excited. It's a huge accomplishment for us. Childs Frick's expedition hat. And these cupboards. You can hear them rattling as I open them. So these modular storage units are all customizable. So if we decide, you know, we need a special unit for walking sticks or umbrellas or parasols or fans, we can continue to sort of build it out and make it more custom. But here we have these beautiful shelves full of mostly Adelaide Frick's shoes. There are some children's shoes here, probably some of the later shoes were Helen Clay Frick's shoes, and they glide out. We actually posted a video on social media a week or so ago, so if you're really interested, you can go find it on, I think it's on our Instagram account, and you can see the drawer gliding open, these beautiful silk and satin slippers, sort of boudoir slippers, mules, embroidered pink satin with rosettes, some black evening shoes with skinny little straps, and lots of rhinestone buckles and things. Kind of makes you want to live another life. And then we have men's shoes. Interestingly, they look more contemporary. I think fashions change less in men's shoes, and numerous of the same pair. So he had something he liked and he bought it, and many of them have the shoe lasts in them that the shoemaker would use when constructing the shoe. You can see parasols on the bottom shelf. And the creaking of the doors closing. Another, sort of more practical things down here, we have these wonderful stainless steel tables that we can move around the space and work on. And if we put them all together, they create a work surface large enough to spread a gown out on. So we can actually work on something down here if we need to. These very innocuous looking cupboards over here, and some people are like, why would you put these cupboards right in the middle of your floor? They're actually fixed, and they have deep drawers with low vibration, and they were bought specifically for our Millet works on page. We have, I think, the second largest collection of Millet pastels in the country. Pastels are particularly fragile. You want to keep them horizontal because the particles in them can gradually vibrate and move off the paper. So you keep them horizontal as much as possible. You protect them from light. They're really precious to us. We do bring them out and share them with people occasionally. I have one of the most iconic Millets in here right now. So I open the drawer. We can see Millet's sower, the famous image of the French peasant walking the fields and sowing grain on a particularly sort of dark brown paper with a kind of stormy sky. I'll say that, you know, what's hanging on the walls down here is a bunch of oddball things, essentially, because most of the fine art collection that we show at the Frick Art Museum still lives in storage there or on the gallery walls. This is really, you know, if something will always only be shown at the art museum, we keep it at the art museum. This is really, you know, not exclusively for material associated with Clayton, but mostly for material associated with Clayton. Dawn's down here working. So you don't know who you'll find in storage. Actually, there are only a handful of us who have access. So most of the time when you come down here, you're on your own. But Dawn is our Associate Curator of Decorative Arts, and she's down here working with some objects.
My name is Dawn Reed. I'm Associate Curator of Decorative Arts here at the Frick Art and Historical Center. And I'm spending time in storage documenting a lot of the furniture and objects that have previously been stored off-site or farther away that we haven't been able to get good photographs of or good documentation of. So I'm looking for marks, looking to identify a lot of these objects so we can place them and within their provenance, if they have Frick provenance or Helen Clay Frick, and figure out what we want to do with them next.
So this is the open shelving for larger or heavier objects, which is a really terrific thing to have as well. Dawn happens to be standing in front of an étagère that we think dates to Henry Clay Frick's bachelor days. We'll be showing it in an exhibition this fall that's drawn from our permanent collection. Doesn't get shown that often, does get shown occasionally. It's a really beautiful piece. We just bought this huge armoire down here yesterday. That was a 90-minute adventure. It matches Adelaide Frick's bedroom suite, but we can't imagine where it actually went in the house. It hasn't, you know, none of us ever saw it installed in the house. There's no documentation, but we were able to bring it to storage yesterday, and it's a beast. We have almost everything. There are a few things. Everything's on site now. We have a few things in small pockets of storage in other places that will migrate over here over the next 6 months. And we hope to get someone in to help our collections and registration staff do all the labeling, do a lot of repacking, and do a lot of photographing over the summer. So I just can't express enough how excited we are to have this here, to have things with us, to have things convenient. Thanks for coming down to storage with me. And we do every once in a while offer tours. So if you're interested, watch our website. Maybe once a year or so, we bring very small groups down here. And obviously, we count you and we keep control of you while you're here. You don't get to poke around too much, but it is fun to see. And I love sharing it with people.
Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk about the debate going on in some Western Pennsylvania schools regarding restrooms for transgender students. If you missed any portion of today's program, it will be available on our website, wesa.fm. I'm Associate Producer Katie Blackley. Thank you for joining us.